This is the last part of my series on His presence, and the title is His Presence, Our Place of Confidence and Courage. In Exodus 33:11, this has been one of our main scriptures. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. And this has been our foundation because we're talking about how Moses and Joshua would go up. They would meet in the presence of the Lord. Moses was the senior pastor then, so he had to go back down and deal with the people. But Joshua was smart enough to stay in the presence of God. And then one day God called him, and we'll get to that as well. And then in Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. You know, I heard some teaching this week, and they said probably the number one issue that people have is to be loved by God, is to know His love and to accept it. And here it says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. There's an experience that God desires that we have. And then He says, all of this, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So God has a reason for us to know His love. When you know you're loved, nothing else matters. You know? But as long as you struggle with, does He love me? Then the enemy has you. Amen? So I would encourage you to get grounded in the fact that He loves you. All right, so here's what we've looked at concerning His presence. His presence, our place of intimacy. That's getting to know Him and His love for us. His presence, our place of strength. His presence, our place of worship. His presence, our place of hope and peace. And again, this morning, His presence, our place of confidence and courage. When you go through all of that, and especially hope and peace, as you've experienced that hope and peace, then, you know, it's automatic that we become confident and courageous. Our natural knowledge and understanding can be a hindrance to us. We don't get to know everything, and we don't have the ability to understand everything. So don't let that be an excuse for why you don't trust God. The amazing thing to me is sometimes we won't move because we want to trust God and understand what He's doing down here. But even when we get to heaven, do you know we will never exhaust God? We will never come to an end. So even in the best of our minds, we still won't be able to know all that He is. Because it'll be new all the time. You'll see a new facet of Him and have a new understanding of Him. And yet, we use understanding down here as a hindrance to walking with God in a greater measure. Rather than understanding what God is after is our faith and the exercise of our faith. So we need to stop looking at everything through the natural and see what God sees and believe what God wants to do, the hope and the promises that are found in His Word. This is a familiar scripture. You can turn there if you want, but if you're in Matthew, that's fine. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And so that's two different ways for us to live life. You can either live it trusting in the Lord with your heart, or you can live it trying to figure everything out in this natural world. And it's not good if you do that. So, and then in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And, you know, in verse 7, when he's talking about be not wise in your own eyes. You know, it's amazing to me how arrogant we are towards God. Like, we're going to be able to tell Him what He's going to do, what He needs to do. That's being wise in your own eyes, and that's not a good place to be. And so we have to be careful with that. And then throughout this whole series, I hope you figured this out, but just in case you haven't, I'll just remind you about it. Somewhere, somebody told us that God won't give us more than what we can handle. That's a lie. He gives you more than you can handle. He gives us all more than we can handle. The reason that, and He asks of us more than what we can do in our own or on our own, in the natural, with our own understanding. He always calls us to something greater than what we think we can do and what we can do. He does. He calls us to that. So my encouragement is don't try and bring God down to our level. Let's go up to His level. He's inviting us to greatness. And, you know, I want to answer that call. And so if somebody told you that God won't give you more than you can handle, just look at them and say, okay. But know they're lying. Okay? He does give us more than we can handle, and this is the reason why. So that we will learn to trust Him in a new way. Because He gives us little steps, little baby steps, and then a little bit bigger steps, and then He gives us steps. And all of those are designed that we would begin to trust in Him, not look to our own understanding, not trust in the natural, but to trust Him to do what is impossible for us to do on our own. Now, I also want to share this. Every person that God has used, there are at least two things that we know about them. Okay? Here's the first thing. They aren't perfect. You know, it is amazing to me how many people don't think God can use them because they're not perfect. Well, guess what? He never asked us to be perfect. And yet, that's a stronghold in our lives that we think that we have to have it all together in order for God to use us. That's also a lie. Here's the second thing. In spite of our imperfection, God invites us to partner with Him to do the impossible. He asks us to do things beyond our comfort zone, beyond our understanding, so that if and when it gets done, it's a miracle. Number one, he used you. Number two, it happened. I mean, that is a miracle. Think of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked Him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And really, that's not the question he was asking. The question he was asking is, what have I done that guarantees me eternal life? Because Jesus went on and said, well, do all of these things. And he said, well, I've kept them. I've done all that from the time that I was young. And so he was trying to earn his way for eternal life, which we do the same thing. And Jesus told him, he said, hey, go sell your stuff and give it to the poor. And the guy walked away. But here's what Jesus said in Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God, everybody say with God, with God all things are possible. And here's the background to this. I told you part of the story. The other part was when he walked away, the disciples came to Jesus and they ask, well, then who can be saved? And this is the response that Jesus had. But this caught my attention. He says, but with God, all things are possible. When the angel came to Mary to let her know what was going to happen to her and that she was going to conceive Jesus by the Holy Spirit, she wanted to know how this was going to happen. And here's the response of the angel in Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Everybody say, with God. All right. So here's what I want you to think about the rest of the message, because this is the rest of the message. With God. With God. Now, here's how I want us to see this, though, because I didn't see this until like last week sometime, and I just sensed that God spoke to me about this, and so I want to share it with you this morning. With God. Now, what we have a tendency to do when we think about these words that the angel spoke, that Jesus spoke, we think it's up to God. We think it's His responsibility. But this is what I want us to see. It's not that, but it's us partnering with God. We cooperate with God, and when that happens, that's when the miracle takes place. Now, when Jesus said it in Matthew, we don't know the results of that. But we do know the results out of Luke when the angel of the Lord spoke to Mary about this, and then she's inquiring, well, how is this going to be done? For nothing will be impossible with God. And you know what she did? She decided to be with God. And then she became pregnant. Isn't that awesome? And so God is always inviting us to do the impossible, to do what is impossible in the natural realm so that He will be glorified in our lives. Are we going to say yes? And if we are going to say yes, then we have to choose to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, all of the people that have walked by faith, all the ones that you read about in the Bible, God invited them to do the impossible with Him. They didn't do the impossible by themselves. They did the impossible with Him, with God. And I just have a few that we'll go with. God invited Abraham to do the impossible with Him. And guess what? Abraham responded to that. He called Jacob to do the impossible with him as well. Jacob responded. Joseph, you know, everybody thinks that when you come to Christ, your life is a life of ease. That's not true. But Joseph was offered the invitation by God to do the impossible, and he did it because he did it with God. Moses, you know, and I was thinking about this when Brian was closing the worship time and stuff, how Moses, you know, the only thing that God told him was, is, Moses, you're going to go get my people and you're going to bring them out. And I just want to encourage you with this. He only tells you part of the vision. He didn't tell him, Moses, you're going to get my people out of Egypt and then you're going to be in the wilderness for 40 years. He didn't tell him that until it was time. So rejoice, you know, in the fact that God's given you a great vision, but I'm just here to tell you, there's a lot of work to be done to have that vision come to pass. And Debbie knows that as well. She has a vision for the plants out there and stuff. But you want to know something? She's worked hard at it as well. And so God only, He gives you the best part of it, then you have to work through the rest of it. But anyways, Ruth, you know, I'm amazed at Ruth because she wasn't letting go. And she had an invitation. And her mother-in-law even tried to get her to go away, but she was like, I know God. I've heard about Him. I'm going to walk with Him. David, Samson. What an invitation that Samson had to do the impossible. And even in his wrongness, even in his failure, God still did greatness through him. The disciples. You know, of all of them, this is probably the one that gets me the most because if I were God, I would have never chosen them. But thank God He's God. I mean, the most unlikely people to start a business with and to start a ministry with, He chooses them. Oh. Yes, it does. It does. It gives the rest of us hope. That's what He said. And as they are unlikely followers, so are you and I. And we can make a difference if we'll walk with God. Now, if you know them, all of them were not perfect. Some of them had very glaring flaws. And yet God still used them. God still invited them to do the impossible with him. And we have the same invitation today. And I encourage and trust and hope that you will say yes. Now, we're getting to confidence in just a minute, but we have to hear the word of God. And so if we're going to be a people of faith, if we're going to walk by faith, then we have to know where faith comes from. And the scripture in Romans 10:17 says that, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And so if we're going to do the impossible with God, then we have to hear his word and then watch for it to happen by faith. Okay? You can't do the impossible with God until you've heard from God. And that's so important for us to understand. The word of God, and we shared about this last week, the word of God and faith, it all comes to us in seed form. So there's the seed of faith, and it has to fall into the ground, and it has to die so that the harvest will come as we patiently wait for it. When we have the word of God spoken to us, here's what happens to us. We have the confidence that we need to do what the word says God wants to do. The impossible. We've seen this all along. If you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1. And we'll break this down a little bit more. You could probably spend a whole year on this, but Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. And these are the words that are spoken to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Okay, and we've gone over this. Joshua already knew that. Why would God speak to him and tell him something that he already knew? Because he was letting Joshua know that Moses is dead, there's no other way out, and you are now the man. God just put it in a different words. He said, now therefore arise. In other words, he's saying, now Joshua, you're the man. Moses is dead, now you're the one. And then here's his instructions. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving them to the people of Israel. So he's given them direction, okay? Now, we have to understand, they're going into the promised land, but there's some obstacles before them. And he's speaking to Joshua, and he's saying, Joshua, we're going over the Jordan. We've been in the wilderness long enough, now we're going to cross the Jordan. Okay, now if you're Joshua, aren't you thinking, well, how are we going to do that? And then you're going to be thinking the Red Sea. You know, well, if he did it once, he can do it again. Okay? So he's thinking things. But he's also letting them know, not only are they going to go over this Jordan, but him and all the people are going to go into the land that he's given them. All right? He's already promised them this land. And so now it's their opportunity to go in. And Joshua now is his man of the hour. Now, I just want us to think for a moment. This is a heavy task. This is not a light thing. There are going to have to be miracles that happen in order for this to take place. They have to go through some major obstacles, Jordan being the first one, Jericho being the next one. Okay? So there's some obstacles, but God is letting him know, Joshua, I need to let you know Moses is dead. We're not relying on him anymore. It's just me and you, and this is where we're going. And he's saying this because I believe he's trying to instill confidence within Joshua, faith and confidence. From Abraham on, this land has been promised to them, and now they're going to walk in it. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. And he could also say, just as I promised to Abraham. And so again, he's given him his words. Joshua is hearing these words. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. So this is to instill confidence, faith in Joshua. And again, God closes it just as I promised to Moses. He's building that confidence within Joshua. Verse 4. And then he describes the land from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. So he's describing the land and it's vast. But he's like, Joshua, I just want you to know it's yours. We're going to do this. We're going to do the impossible. Verse 5. I love this one. After he describes the land, then he says this. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Whew. Now that would be good enough. I mean, that's an awesome statement in and of itself. He's letting Joshua know, you know what, Joshua? As you step out in faith, I want you to do it with confidence, and I'll just throw in courage right now too, and boldness. I want you to step into all of that now because nobody is going to be able to stand against you. Woo! Isn't God good? And then he says, now that statement alone was good enough. Let me read it to you again. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. But then he continues, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that awesome? And so he's just letting them know, Joshua, it's me and you. I'm never going to leave you. You can't get rid of me. And we're going to go into the promised land. And I'm telling you all this so that you will have faith, you will have confidence, you will have courage, you will have boldness. Isn't that awesome? That's how our God is. When God speaks to us, when you see it in His Word, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you in your daily life, I want us to see that this is an invitation for us to walk with God and to do the impossible with Him. He's going to call us to things that are impossible to do on our own, but they're not impossible when we do it with Him. Joshua is embarking on the impossible for the rest of his life. Isn't that amazing? This is going to consume him the rest of his life. And he does it well because he did it with God. If Joshua will walk with God, God is basically saying to him, Joshua, you will see us do the impossible. And he did. And the same is true for us. Do we see it for our life? If we want to see the impossible, then we have to be a people of confidence, which means that we've heard God speak to us, either through His Word or by the Holy Spirit. Faith and confidence go hand in hand. If we don't have confidence in what God says, we will not have faith. If we don't hear God's word, if we don't have faith from hearing His word, then we can't have confidence in Him either. When we have God's word, we have confidence. When we have God's word and we have confidence, then we also have courage and boldness. And in Joshua 1:9, it says this, have I not commanded you? And there's a question mark. And I'm not quite sure that the question mark needs to be there. I think it's more of an exclamation point. Have I not commanded you? He's letting him know, Joshua, you've heard me now. I've called you. This is what we're going to do. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you. He's with us. Not only is He with us, but listen to how He's with us. wherever. Everybody say wherever. Wherever we go. Isn't that awesome? Wherever we go, God wants to be right there with it. He will be. It's up to us whether we acknowledge him and whether we'll have the faith, the confidence, the courage, and the boldness to let him be who he is in our lives and do the impossible with God. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 11. He's speaking to them, Paul is, and then he says this in verse 11, Ephesians 3, 11. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, now this is talking about us, in our lives in Christ, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him, speaking of in Christ. And so it's there for us for the taking. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he's talking about some things, great things, but then he says in verse 4, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Such is the confidence. God wants us to be a people of confidence. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. God and his word bring us confidence. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. And I swear Brian had to look at my notes this morning or sometime because he used scriptures that I'm relating to and it's coming up. But that's how you know that you're right on. When somebody else confirms it and they haven't had the notes, even though somehow they did get them. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. So we are always, everybody say always, of good courage. Isn't that awesome? He doesn't say when things are going well. He doesn't say when you feel well, when you have enough money, when your marriage is perfect, when your children are perfect. He said, so we are always of good courage. Whew. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Isn't that awesome? How many of y'all love to walk by faith and not by sight? You know, we all want to do it until he tells us, okay, this is what it looks like. And we're like, yeah, but I can't see it. Well, yeah, that's because it's faith. You know, we are so fickle in our thinking. We want to do what God has called us to do, but when we step out to do it, we're like, well, I don't see it. I don't understand it. How do I know that this is you? By faith. I wanted to throw the scripture in. I didn't do it, but I'll do it now. Hebrews 11. By faith we understand that the universe, the world was made from his words. By faith we understand it. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8. Yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Isn't that awesome? So we walk by faith, not by sight. And here's the strange thing about God. It's so easy to walk by faith and not by sight until it's you that has to do it. And think about it. I mean, to walk by faith is easy. You hear what God says and you do what he said. Okay, that's easy. Here's the hard part. Us. We get in the way. And if it was easy, wouldn't everybody be doing it? Yes. But it's a choice. And we're going to choose to walk by faith and not by sight. We're going to get ready to receive communion in a minute, but I want us to receive it with the understanding that we're acknowledging what God has done for us. And we're doing it with God. We're committing ourselves to him. One more scripture as we close. Proverbs 28, verse 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1. I love this scripture. The wicked flee when no one pursues. Talk about confusion. The wicked flees when no one pursues, but the righteous, everybody say the righteous, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if when you got to school, the school heard some roaring going on? Woo! Hallelujah. But the righteous are bold as a lion. We are invited by God to see the impossible. Then we will have to be willing to walk with God, to be found in his presence, to find our place of intimacy, to find our place of strength, to find our place of worship, our place of hope and peace, and our place of confidence and courage and boldness. The invitation is not for us to try to do the impossible. The invitation is to walk with God and then let him do the impossible with us. That's what all of those who have walked in the Bible and have great men and women of faith, they did that. They walked with God. As we share communion, let's do it with a renewed commitment to be found in his presence. And then we will be ready, willing, and able to do the impossible with God. What a wonderful invitation. And I want to encourage you to go for it. Ryan, if you'll come and we're going to share communion. Now, the cups, they have everything. There's the bread up at the top. You know, you got these little things, and you got to somehow get it to where the lesser one opens up for you to get the bread, and then the other one opens up so you can drink the cup. Try and do the first one first, the bread first. I've had these, and sometimes they don't work according to plan. So find somebody that has eyes and nails, and they'll get it, okay? So, Brian, if you want to take this one on that side, and I'll do this one on this side.
I came to you with my heart in pieces and found a God with healing in his hand. I turn to you, put everything behind me, and found the God who makes all things new. I look to you, drowning in my question, and found the God who holds all wisdom. And I trusted you and stepped out on the ocean. You caught my hand among the waves, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you ran from you and wandered in the shadows.
The scripture. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And then I just want to add one more scripture. In Matthew 1:23, and it says this: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. What an awesome God. What an awesome invitation to walk with him and see and do the impossible. Let's hold the bread before the Lord. Father, we thank you for this day and the love that you have for us. We thank you for this bread as it is a reminder of your brokenness and your willingness to be broken, that you, God, would be with us all the days of our lives. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Share together.
In my blindness, God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my freedom. In my weakness, God, you are my power. You're the reason that I sing, 'cause you're the color of all my day.
I'm letting this song play. We turn it down a little bit because I happen to think this might have been the song that Joshua wrote. We just didn't get it until Casting Crowns got paid for it. But I just think of how Joshua was and all that he did, the miracles that happened, the impossible that happened through his life because he walked with God. Whoops. It's bad when you get excited. But what an awesome testimony. And, you know, I wanted to play this song so because of that. Because we have to, he's the God of all our days. He's with us all the time. Let's share together. Well, let me pray first. Father, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for the remembrance of your blood that was spilled for us on purpose for us. That again, Father, you would be with us. And Father, I thank you for being our God who invites us to do the impossible with you. Let's drink together. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this day and the love that you have for us. And Father, I thank you that you never leave us, you never forsake us. You're always going to be right there with us. And so, Father, I pray that we would answer the invitation that you've given to each and every one of us. Imperfect as we are, Father, glaring flaws as they are, Father, you still offer the invitation for us to walk with you and to see the impossible. And Father, we say yes in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.